This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
So we're looking at Psalm 113 tonight, and this Psalm 113 to 118, those psalms were sung by the Jewish people at the Passover feast, as well as other important feast days in the Jewish calendar, but especially during the Passover. During the Passover, they would sing this song, this psalm. They would start out with this song, and it's a beautiful, beautiful psalm. And when you consider the Passover, of course, the Passover from Exodus 12, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Judgment was averted because of the blood. And that, of course, is our testimony too, that God does not judge us because the blood of Christ has covered us. So verse 1, praise the Lord, praise, O servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. If you were reading it in the Hebrew, you'd have hallelujah, praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun to the going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations. His glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God? Who is like the Lord? Who dwells on high? Who humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and that are in the earth? So God, they're praising God for what he has done, what he has accomplished for them. And verse 6, he humbled himself, and he is very much involved with the things that happen on the earth, and he is not far from us. He is not abstract or distant from us. He is very much involved with what takes place upon the earth and also in the heavens. The heavens refer to not where he is sitting. Obviously, God's heaven is a unique place that he is very much in touch with, but the heavens from Genesis chapter 1, the heavens, the universe, the atmosphere that surrounds us. When Paul was caught up, he was caught up to the third heaven. The first and second heaven are still here. The atmospheric heaven that surrounds us, where we know in Ephesians 2:2 is the realm which the demonic forces, Satan and his demonic forces, have access to the earth through the atmosphere. He is the prince of the power, the authority of the air. And then, of course, there is the celestial heaven, the universe, the planets, and so forth. But the humility of Christ is expressed to us and was expressed in his incarnation, the fact that God Almighty would be born as a baby in a cradle in Bethlehem, and he humbled himself and became a helpless little child that needed to be cared for and taken care of, and everything had to be done for him at that young age. And he certainly humbled himself in allowing that to be his situation all the way through his life to the crucifixion, which was another great episode of his humility for the sake of us, for the benefit of us all. And so there on the earth, he lived the life. He was perfect in every way. He went to the cross. He died. And all of that was done in his humility. Remember, he is God Almighty. He is the God who created the heavens and the earth. He is the God that made all things. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. He is mighty beyond our understanding, and yet he humbled himself to become a man and to live and to die for our sake. And in doing so, he He left a great work that was accomplished here on the earth when he was here. He accomplished a great work. And then in Psalm 28:5, I like this verse. It says, because they do not regard the work of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands, he shall destroy them and not build them up. And so it's a warning to those who reject and disregard the work of the Lord. What was the work of the Lord? Dying for you. Dying for the sins of mankind, taking the penalty and the judgment of sin upon himself, breaking the power of sin on the cross, and making salvation available to everyone. And those that don't regard that, they hear the gospel and they have no regard for it. It's like, I know that stuff. I don't want to hear it. I don't have time for that now. They disregard it. Those are the people who are being warned. Remember John 4:34. Jesus said to them, my food, my meat, is to do the will of him who sent me. I'm doing the will of God as I am on the earth, which will include the cross. That will be his will as well. But I will do that. And then it said in verse 4:34, it says, I'm doing the will of him who sent me, and to finish his work. I'm finishing the work that he sent me to do. John 19:30. You know, he cried out on the cross, it is finished. The work that God sent me to do in redeeming mankind, making the provision for mankind to receive a free gift of salvation, to receive Christ into their lives, that work was done. That work was accomplished. And some do not regard that work. We go and evangelize on a weekly basis, door-to-door evangelism and whatever. There are people who will listen, but there are other people that have no regard for it. The door closes quick. And they have no regard for the work that was done for them, the work of salvation. And, of course, they have no... There are also Christians, once you become a Christian, once you get saved, there are also Christians who, after they're saved, do not regard the work of the Lord. They do not regard what he's done, the scope of what was accomplished on Calvary. They see Christ for salvation, and they receive Christ as their provision to have eternal life. But then beyond that, they don't see Christ working in the details of their Christian life. And so many are occupied with, rather than his work, they're occupied with their own works. And unfortunately, many of them are trained to do that. They're taught to do that, to be very conscious of how they're doing, what they're doing. Are they doing the right thing? Are they doing the wrong thing? Did they fail today? Did they say the right thing? Are they in the flesh? They're always occupied with how they are doing. They're occupied with works as it relates to them rather than the occupation of what Christ has accomplished for them. They are occupied with works rather than the finished work. It's sad sometimes that kids grow up. Children grow up in Sunday school, they grow up in churches, and they are always, almost every class, there's a new character trait that they need to learn. And they're very much occupied with the character traits and with the things that they must do, the things that they must perform, and then the way they must act, and they really don't get to know God in Sunday school. They don't get to know the accomplishments of Christ. They don't get to understand the finished work of Christ in Sunday school. They're just told that this is good, you know, trust and obey, there's no other way, and on it goes. And when they're 17 and 18 years old, many of them rebel against that because it's all works, and the strength of sin is the law, as you know. And so you're just creating little powder kegs who are going to explode as soon as they get their freedom and just go off and go wild because all they've learned was the outward, exterior things. You must do this. You should do that. You need to be honest. You need to not do this. You need to. And those things are true, but those things, there's a time and a place to bring those things in. They need to know God. They need to have a genuine relationship with God and so forth. Remember that verse we had last week in church? It's stuck with me for the past week or so from Matthew 23. It's a beautiful verse that Jesus said. He said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but the inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. And then he said, blind Pharisees. And the Pharisees were very externalists that are always involved with how you're doing on the outside. Doesn't matter how black your heart is, just how are you doing on the outside? Are you living up to expectations? Blind Pharisees first cleanse the inside of the cup, and the dish and the outside of them may be clean also. So Jesus' protocol here was, let's work on the inside, and that will affect the outside. Let's change the inside, and then the outside will be changed by what's on the inside. Instead of hammering at the outside to change while the inside is still the same old thing. So you get somebody who's been hammered on the outward man, and he walks right, he talks right, he wears his hair right, he dresses right, all of that stuff goes on. He doesn't do this, he doesn't drink, smoke, or swear, run around with anybody that does. He does all those things, but on the inside he's critical, he's judgmental, he's got all this nastiness going on the inside, and he's in no better condition than anyone else. Because he was taught that it was the outside that was made the difference, and it is not. The cup and the dish need to be cleaned on the inside first, and the outside will reflect that cleansing. So God's program is grace that addresses the inside, the inward man, and before it addresses the outward man. But you don't get that in your local corner church mostly. They want to go right after the outward man and shape him up quick so you don't embarrass them. And they want to shape him up and get him to do the right things, to act like a Christian before the inside has been converted. But Jesus said, no, the inside needs to be addressed first. The soul needs to be addressed. The body will follow along. The things you do with your body will follow along once the soul has been touched. So God's program is grace. He attempts to address the inside of the believer, and he does that through his word. He does it through the word of God. The word of God is the transforming power of God. The word works in conjunction with the Holy Spirit, and together they transform the individual. So you get a person in, and instead of hammering his outward life, you want to have him sit and receive life. He needs to receive life before his life is going to be changed. And when it is changed, it'll be a work of God. It won't be just a work of his own human ability or ability to be self-disciplined, which few of us have. There are some that we marvel at when they have a lot of discipline, but like the Apostle Paul, he's had a lot of discipline, it seems, but he trashed it all in order that he might win Christ. But verse 7 here in 1:13, it says, he raised the poor out of the dust. Now, only God can raise us up out of the dust. There are lots of pulpits that try to get you to leave the dust. And they have a series of messages entitled Departing from the Dust. Part 1, part 2, part 3, part 4. And every week you get a new piece of dust you're supposed to get rid of in your life. And if it doesn't work, then you've got to be put into therapy somewhere.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program, and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
Hello, this is David Wilbur, a professional insurance agent right here on the Treasure Coast for more than 30 years and partner in InsurePro Insurance Agency located in St. Lucie West.